Daki shuji jebe sonam jiyan dola benze sanjen dhubwa na yu. Question, just ask one. Yeah, if you have.
I have a question, Ken Rinpoche. This is regarding the explanation that was given to us in relation to the level of the predisposition of ignorance, which Ken Rinpoche said could be taken to be the imprints of the apprehension of true existence, and that this would lead to the bodhisattva creating uncontaminated karma. I would like to clarify, in terms of the uncontaminated karma, what is it not contaminated by? That means what's the difference in that sense between contaminated karma and uncontaminated karma? Because in my mind at the moment, the thing I'm having a problem with is that I see the apprehension of true existence, even though it's the imprint, I see it as something that's an obscuration, that is something that's negative. So I'm having problems with understanding how this negative thing can lead to a karma that is not contaminated. So I'm trying to get a better understanding of what contamination means in this context.
Yeah, someone come and answer. If anybody know the answer, please come and say.
Is the karma of an aharat uncontaminated?
Your question.
That's the.
Huh?
That's the answer. Meaning that an aharat still gets the imprint, but maybe his or her karma is uncontaminated.
That is true. But you are not answering her question. Yeah? He didn't answer her question. But what he says is true. Yeah. Yeah, come. He said, this is neat thing. You know, we only study, so somebody come and ask this question. So, how are you going to answer? Yeah, come. Anybody know, then come. Oh.
Hello. So it's uncontaminated in the sense that the arahat or whoever it is having this uncontaminated karma does not have afflictions like attachment and anger in the mind already, but they still have appearances of true existence, which creates that imprint.
What do you answer?
So it's uncontaminated because the person accumulating it no longer has afflictions like attachment and hatred. Ignorance. Yeah. So because of that, they still have appearances of true existence appearing to them. So as a result, they accumulated the karma. Uncontaminated karma.
Shidipsa jeba yinzang sangme kandhi chabar esu gharta dhir. Sangme ili kandhi chabar, sakpa miyabasin kandhi chabar esu gharta. 시대는 지혜로워지는 삶을 갖는 사람을 했어. That was him again. What you say is something correct. Okay, so another question for you.
The question Sishide was driving at was, how does karma that is accumulated becomes uncontaminated when the individual still has the knowledge obscurations? You still have an obscuration, right? So then why is it the karma is still uncontaminated? The answer is not difficult.
Yeah, continue, Sukim. You say something, so then after all, another question again, then how are you going to answer for that? So far, good, don't make mistake, huh? That's okay.
So, even though he has knowledge obscurations, the karma that he produces does not cause him to cycle in cyclic existence, in the sense that there's no he produces karma but that karma doesn't cause him to cycle in cyclic existence. Yeah. I don't know. Is it because there's no grasping? Yeah.
Doesn't what?
There's no grasping. There's no. I think it has to do with something to do with the will of.
The
will, and because that will is broken, so whatever karma is produced doesn't cause him to circle in cyclic existence. Yeah.
It's a very interesting expression. The wheel is broken.
I'm broken.
That's something new today.
No, he upped the mic, you know, himself.
I'm joking.
On there. Benatanda, Maripajig Sars, and not so Gulundi, that's also the Maripuniland, the Savage Marwa. That's also the Puggy, Shiduku, so Tomotilla Dene, their side machine.
It's not difficult actually. So to answer the question, then basically you have to know what is a contaminated. An uncontaminated phenomenon. So there are a couple of enumerations of a contaminated phenomenon, but it primarily means, it refers to the afflictions. So, as such, the karma that is motivated by these afflictions is contaminated. Yeah. Then you have uncontaminated karma. Uncontaminated karma is not motivated by ignorance, isn't it? But rather, it is accumulated in dependence upon subtle exertion or subtle effort, yeah, which happens due to the levels of the predispositions of ignorance.
Tatiya samadhanish to happen mari pachayi sa sudukandu leadiyani karasare.
So arhats and the bodhisattvas on the eighth ground and onwards, they do accumulate karma. The karma they accumulate is uncontaminated karma. So the levels of the predispositions of ignorance is the condition for having a subtle effort or subtle exertion in dependence on which these arhats and the bodhisattvas on the pure grounds, they accumulate uncontaminated karma. It's the same idea with the contaminated aggregates. Why are our contaminated appropriated aggregates contaminated? Because our contaminated aggregates arises out of karma and afflictions, but primarily the afflictions. And since it's a product of the afflictions, our aggregates are contaminated. We talked about the mara of the aggregates. So the coarse mara of the aggregates refer to the contaminated aggregates that we have. The aggregates that come about as a result of karma and afflictions. And then you have the subtle mara of the aggregates, which refers to the mental body, which arises due to the levels of the predispositions of ignorance and subtle exertion. So since the mental body arises from uncontaminated karma, I guess maybe we can call the mental body uncontaminated. So I guess maybe we can call the mental body an uncontaminated aggregate, an uncontaminated body.
독신이 제자 다 딘데서 뭐 다는 거라 변나다 풍부히 차라 샤 딘데 있네 또다 다시 받아 사제 받은 저 아니 니모 방살 때 이내 단도치 풍부 들려 줘야 말해 그럼 풍부 뒤도 제대 맛이 다 딘데네 고 차라샤 아니 단도 참을 하대 봐인자 두시 맞춰 왔어 다 단도 풍부 뒤도 제 받은 거 주시 도도 와
So if we divide the Mara of the aggregates into coarse and subtle, then since the arhats and the bodhisattvas on the pure ground still have this uncontaminated aggregates, uncontaminated body, so as such, they are not liberated from the Mara of the aggregates yet.
어떻게 따가 남시 아니지 따 디스모 가서 시원한 시에 치다기 뒤 시에 직발에 따 치다기 뒤 락바스냄이도 따 당당히 삭바던 집이 치다기 뒤스냄이도 따 랍추구유로 따 디스모 땅바에 났다가 남신 따 조조 레던 니몽 옹기 따 라오며가 치구해지어로와 치다기 뒤 시에 따 또 락발라스나 또 레던 니몽 옹기 라오며가 치구해지 따디 치다기 뒤 락바차에 아니 삭바단 집에 치워서나 납치고 있었다. 그래 삭색이 치워서 납치고 있었다.
And with regards to the Mara of the Lord of Death, the coarse Mara of the Lord of Death is the death that happens as a, due to karma and afflictions. Yeah, it is a death that happens without a choice because it is a product or cause is caused by karma and afflictions. And as such, I guess perhaps we can also call such a death a contaminated death.
어떠시네 다가나시다 치유도 참모스도 가라 가르시거나 신뢰다 이기랑식이 리디아고 치유를 줘요 말해 나도 치유와 참모 치국이요 그래 왔다 다시 뭐 있나요 당시 청주서 받은 줄 있나요 치워 락바 독바르데 치워 참아 떠요 말에 섬지 미제비 치보세 남셔진 것도 이겨나시게 뉘디하고 섬지 미제비 치보세디 제진상 다 딘도 다 치워 참아 샤기어래 다 상내 다 다가나시하고 딘데 고아단 고아련을 켜보면 또 상내게 치워서다 납축 연하면은 미시다
Although the arhats and the bodhisattvas on the pure grounds have liberated themselves or freed themselves from the coarse mara of death, but since they have the mental body, they still experience the inconceivable transference of death, isn't it? So, I wonder if we can call it that kind of death, an uncontaminated death.
또 동당이 들에 다 디데기 다고 당연히 유다 믿으니 또 믹스기 다 삼백이 치워서 이게 동당 마수도 이내 거 다고 변화박이 가서 왔다기 사제일에 삼백일에 디데기 서버 땅 거이나요 건조나요? 사직이 치워 삼백이 치워 세당 야다가 나신 사직이 풍부 삼백이 풍부 어떻게 잘쳐야 그거 어떻게 해서 다 면도다가 내나.
So although I haven't seen it expressed in such a way, you know, terms like contaminated death, uncontaminated death, but if we think about contaminated karma and uncontaminated karma, the meaning of contaminated in that context, yeah. Then I wonder if it's okay, right, to label the death that happens due to karma and afflictions as contaminated death and so forth.
도시네. 다 딘데인상 반다카다. 다가나시다 니몽비두 가성시원하시오리. 니몽비두 세디 다바니 치기하라 가성시원하시인 다 조 니몽 운주와다 디샵에 서면 딘데기 찬네다 운주와서나 니몽비두 락바샤에 아니 nyamu ngunju wa ti sha sabin la ba na nyamu bi tu ta wa la cha ta ta da nam ju ngo zu da cho ba la de di zo zo nyamu bi tu de chu be cha ne ta da cho ba se shi ta de
Then as for the mara of the afflictions, the coarse mara of the afflictions refer to the manifest afflictions, whereas the subtle mara of the afflictions refer to the seeds established by the afflictions, yeah, or the seeds placed or, yeah, by the afflictions. Yeah. And an arhat or full destroyer is so called because he has conquered or destroyed the foe of the afflictions, right? The enemy of the afflictions, right? And of course the seeds as well, right?
This one, that's your message. That's the
Buddha.
Like Buddha, the Benaka, Dukara Onshu, but today and itching, choosing another, the Nabashigre said the Lai Buddha Rahman and Tindere.
Then you have the Mara of Devaputra, yeah? And that is common, is commonly refers to this being, Garab Wangchu, yeah? This entity, this being who disrupts the practice of virtue, you know, of others.
Otoxini, Chaganda, and the Kazashivana Shireta, Jermuzil, sitting to the Nala, Benata, Tolom Toy, to one hype to Junker, and it's also disuented, Benna, Gemina, Texum Savi, Texum Dinzo, Pesin Tolom Toy, to Hala, Gemina, Texum Savi, Texum, Zawan in the Mikesh, or Texum Tamja, talk to it. This is Dogalata, Tolom Toy, to Halata, Benna, Nimu Gundatinzo, then you more rapatin, the Kanga, what did you do, Marwa?
Then Jerumji wrote in his the Rosary of the Golden Explanations, basically an explanation of Abhisamankara, in that when one achieves the half of seeing, one then overcomes the Mara of the Devaputra. Because once you achieve the path of seeing, then all the doubts, you know, for example, the doubts about the three jewels are eliminated. And of course, the intellectually acquired afflictions are also eliminated. Essentially, the very coarse afflictions are eliminated, right? So when one achieves the path of seeing, then the intellectually acquired afflictions will not cannot arise.
So
when one achieves the path of seeing, then the individual becomes a Sangha jewel, isn't it? And one of the reason being that when he achieves the path of seeing, he has eliminated the doubts with doubts about the objects of refuge.
So
So anyway, in short, this is the essence, the point behind contaminated karma and uncontaminated karma.
So a karma
that is contaminated by the afflictions is a contaminated karma, and a karma that is not accompanied by the afflictions, the contaminants, then that is an uncontaminated karma. So in order to accumulate karma, exertion is needed. You need to depend on exertion, whether it is a coarse exertion or a subtle exertion. Yeah, right. So as such, then does Buddha have karma? So if you look at it in this way, yeah, then it seems like no, yeah.
Buddha have karma or not? Huh?
Same thing over there.
No? You sure?
Isn't there virtuous karma in the continuum of Buddha?
What do you think? You said no or yes? No, Buddha don't have karma.
Doesn't Buddha accumulate virtuous karma?
If Buddha offer you a piece of chocolate, does Buddha create good karma or not? Yeah, this question.
Buddha doesn't have conceptual thought, so there's no exertion on his part.
So that, yeah.
So there's no karma created.
So are you in that way you're saying if Buddha give you one piece of chocolate, Buddha doesn't create good karma? So you're saying that?
It creates virtue, but it does not create virtuous karma.
It creates virtuous karma. So he's not completed because he doesn't have conceptual thought how he creates karma.
No. I don't say he creates virtue. He doesn't create virtuous karma. Must create a special category for him. Beyond psychic.
What you say? Create virtues, not virtuous karma.
Karma applies to sanctioned beings. It must create a special category for Buddhas. for their virtuous action.
So he hasn't completed the accumulation of merit.
I don't think they accumulate karma like we do.
Oh.
Yeah, because they do not have conceptual thoughts.
Yeah.
Whatever you call it, it's virtue. No?
I think it's virtue, yeah.
Then you
accumulate virtue, no? Buddha can live with you.
And the devotion here, what is it?
So there must be a result there. That virtue must issue forth a result. Okay. If there's a cause, no?
Maybe whatever virtue they create is a result of their past prayers when they're bodhisattvas. So whatever virtue they create is already a result of their past prayers.
Okay, anyway, huh? That could be an outpost. So when we say to accumulate merit,
well, the very expression to accumulate merit means implies exertion, yeah? Whether it is coarse exertion or subtle exertion. So as such, Buddha, we don't say the Buddha accumulates karma.
Okay.
Whatever needs to be accumulated was already accumulated. Buddha finished his job. So as such, his enlightened activities are spontaneous, effortlessly.
So there's
no need for him to accumulate. And probably, I think you can say that he doesn't accumulate karma.
So I'm not sure
if you can explain it in this way. But anyway, since to accumulate karma, you need exertion. So as such, Buddha doesn't accumulate karma.
Yeah. I just think I'm going to dance line dance.
Huh? Then I have another question. What does exertion mean? Does it mean the movement of some minds or what? Exertion. What really does exertion mean? Yeah. Because you say to accumulate karma, you must have exertion, right? So what does that really mean? Some movement, something? Please explain to you.
I guess basically it's motivation. Whether whatever exertion it is, whatever you exert yourself in to do something, you know, physically, mentally, there must be a force that motivates the action, right? So
motivation. So does it mean some intention behind it? Intention. When you say exertion, motivation, does it refer to the mental factor of intention that involves the mental factor of intention? So because of that, that's why it's called exertion. I'm just wondering. I don't know.
Intention is called Dubba. Semba. Semba the mother. 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 Semba the mother.
So you're saying that motivation and intention are the same. But isn't intention karma?
Yes.
So karma and motivation is the same?
Before accumulating karma, you have to have intention, right?
Motivation. Before we do anything, any action, there must be a thought, yeah. We call it exertion. You exert, you know, you think, no, I want, you're motivated to do something. Sometimes it drives you to do something, isn't it? Then you will do it, right?
Yes.
So intention, the mental factor of intention is that which moves the mind towards an object, isn't it? You only move the mind towards an object after you're motivated by some, you know, as motivation, then that motivates you to have the intention to move your mind towards the object, yeah.
My question is this. We have always been told that when we realize emptiness, that is done in the state of meditative equipoise, right? And before we become a Buddha, during that state of meditative equipoise, only emptiness appears and there's no appearance of conventional phenomena. And it's when we become a Buddha, you remain in meditative equipoise, but the unique characteristic of a Buddha is that he can realize both conventional phenomenon and ultimate phenomenon at the same time. So my first question is this, does that mean that the ultimate truth necessarily has to be realized in a state of meditative equipoise? And my second question is this, because Ken Rinpoche asked us at one time in one of the earlier lessons, what is the fallacy if it was said that the Buddha will arise from meditative equipoise? And my question is, I'm just wondering whether this line of thought is correct, because to me, Buddhahood is a permanent state. You know, when you become a Buddha, you don't become a non-Buddha in the next second. So if you were to arise from meditative equipoise, then that means your state of Buddhahood is not constant. So I'm just wondering whether I'm thinking along the correct line. So there's two questions, yeah? Yeah, thank you.
We never said that emptiness can only be realized in a meditative equipoise. In general, we talk about the three kinds of wisdom. The wisdom arisen from hearing, the wisdom arisen from reflection, and the wisdom arisen from meditation. Yeah. And these three wisdoms can be developed with respect to any phenomena. Isn't it?
디시도가나 돈다니 돈이 토마토발에 임시 냠샤이 신고 말해서 들어. 다 가르세는 제바게 다 토마토 토마이 돈이 도가나 섬주가 루이 도고로 와. 그러와 제바신 도가르티고 데 곰주가 루이 시그 말에 냠샤이 시 시그 말로 와.
So therefore regards to emptiness, the very first time you realize emptiness, it is not realized directly, it's not realized in the meditative equipoise. But rather it is realized by an inferential cognizer, and that is a wisdom arisen from reflection.
어떻게니 따돈다티레 따닝보티레 따가르스나 보게 돈이 똥마돈이 누가 남서 냠샤시 비켜봐요 말해서 어떻게
So the point here is the first realization of emptiness
not necessarily by meditative equipoise. 동반이나 제주님 아니 지금 동반이 오성도 통연도네 딱 냠샤이 시작하러 와 동반이 통반 오성도 또 내가 놓고 냠샤이 시작했으나 비진티 그러고 왔다.
So with regards to the object emptiness, so first it is realized by inferential cognition, which is a wisdom arisen from reflection, and that wisdom arisen from reflection then transforms an entity into a wisdom arisen from meditation. Of course, that happens when you enter the path of preparation, right? So on the path of preparation, there is a lot of familiarization, meditation on emptiness. So that is a wisdom arisen from meditation. And then that mind, so when that, anyway, then could come the time when you see emptiness directly for the first time, right? So that realization is, you can say, is within a meditative equipoise.
어디서다 디 내가 나 통마도 내가 나 비신다 나 돌아 파셔면 돌아 남로 남세다 디 내가 나 비는 군주 슈든 좀 미나시 다 디르 아 so yeah the very first
one realizes the true path directly is when one enters the path of seeing, and one enters into the path of seeing via the uninterrupted path of the path of seeing, and then from that you achieve the path of release or the path of seeing. So during the meditative equipoise on the path of seeing, when you realize emptiness for the very first time, so in that meditative equipoise, conventional phenomena do not appear.
다 통마 텀도 가나 티레 다 기대군조 차에 알아봐 어때네 근데 강사디 다 통마 동반이 무슨 타인도 가나 다 밖에 강사 차에 기대군조 차에 어디네 말해 so
when one achieves the path of seeing for the first time, then one becomes a the person becomes a sangha jewel, and is a, and the being, the person is becomes a superior.
어때네 다디 연초실이 그러 다디 다 기대군조 인상 다 윤대기다 딩그레스 니초시다나니 가릴라 어때
So then, now I have a question. So, if a person, that person, if a person is Sanghajuwa, or if it is a Sanghajuwa, does it necessarily possess the eight qualities of the Sanghajuwa?
Wait, that is a question. Kunjukoy naman tayo siya. Tanda niya lahat tindi yung zang ko. Tanda tindi. Tanda niya to chakbo to yara, siyong to chakbo yara. Chasa ta namji chiyo kunjo, gini kunjo, laba chikbo ko yata ko. Chokumi to wata ko. Gini kunjo ina, ta dine shebe ta yun dengi shebe to wata. Tanda kada.
Chungwe kada. Ritta.
Chungwe chesa shita. Samenime tonga tasanyam bo chuni kanshin dengi chinde. Ta chado mesungu tiba jirigle chowa seda. Ta kame tsikde jesa shida. Ta tonda tere ta shiba kemido. Ta chesan puke ta yundi kunje inba ina. Ta yundi kunje yundi ketan dengi du mido. Rwa yundi kunje yundi ketan dengu gudu mido seda. Tinde si samna ta yana ta yundi kunje yundi ke karere. An chio kunjo ina yun de gyatan tingi nimbidu, ta chio kunjo yun de gyatik karir, tindegi samudan yan chikko. So so samudan ina samudan yan kukha mambu yu deyashi, o tindere.
So there's quite a lot of, and it was always things to think about, yeah. You know, we just say, you know, dharma juo and sangha juo, yeah, but it's not, we should do more than that, they're just saying, oh, Dhamma Juwa and Sangha Juwa. Yeah. So, I mean, the text is challenging. But so, if you ask, you know, such a question, if it is a Dhamma Juwa, does it necessarily possess the eight qualities of a Dhamma Juwa? If it is a Sangha Juwa, does it necessarily possess the eight qualities of the Sangha Juwa? So, in order to answer that question, you first have to know what those eight qualities are. And then, you can then answer the question, yeah? Right? So there's a lot of things to think about. So, you know, of the eight qualities of the Sangha Juwa, basically they can be condensed into the two, right? The qualities of freedom and the qualities of understanding or knowledge, right? Then there's also the inner qualities and so on and so forth, right?
Oh, duksin eh, ta tinde ta ne ta ta na ta duksin tinde re duksin eh ta ko yang ko sang no tangi na ko mang bu is ta yu te si ta tu na nyambo tira ko kar so re pa ta kasan shuba na shi re ta na gyudu kun jo su do na ni si ta chi jo ka te si ten ko kudu ro te ne ga shi ba na ya pen to yu re ko gyudu kun jo su de si re che sa ona rangi ta kyab nyayi ba na ya chi mani kyab yu chi shu ha chi.
So yeah, there in fact many things to think about, right? So like, you know, if you ask that question, right? If it is a Sangha Juwa, does it necessarily possess the eight qualities of the Sangha Juwa? And the reasons why the Sangha Juwa is a befitting object of refuge for us. They can act, that can act as an object of refuge because they possess those qualities, isn't it? So then if we know their qualities, then we also know why they are befitting objects of refuge, yeah? And it can help our faith as well.
Okay.
Sorry, Ken Rinpoche, just to reconfirm, I'm sorry, I phrased my question incorrectly. I was actually asking about the direct realization of emptiness. So just to reconfirm, then the direct realization of emptiness necessarily have to occur within a state of meditative equipoise. Is that correct? I was actually asking about the direct realization of emptiness. Sorry.
What's your question now?
No, because Ken Rinpoche explained about how the realization of the sequence of the realization of emptiness. But my original question, I didn't phrase it precisely enough. I was actually asking about the direct realization of emptiness. Does that necessarily have to occur within meditative equipoise? And based on what Ken Rinpoche explained, then I gather that the answer is yes. The direct realization of emptiness can only occur in a state of meditative equipoise. I don't know whether I got that correct. Because that was my question. That was actually my question. Not realization of emptiness per se, realization of emptiness.
Ask question back to you. Why you ask that question?
No. Okay.
What do you have behind? What do you have something behind to ask that reason? You have anything there?
Yeah. What are you doubting, basically?
Yeah. It means why you doubt that and why you ask this?
Okay, it's got something to do with...
I'm not pointing you, but for everyone, when you come with question.
Right,
You must have something while you're asking. Because, this or what.
Right, because Ken Rinpoche did ask us in one of the lessons, what is the fallacy, this ability of a Buddha, the unique ability of a Buddha to realize the ultimate truth and the conventional truth simultaneously at the same time. And that, once he becomes a Buddha, he is in a permanent, if we can use the word permanent, state of meditative equipoise. He doesn't arise from that. And then Ken Rinpoche posed us the question, what is the fallacy if we were to say that the Buddha does arise from meditative equipoise, And thinking along those lines, I was thinking like, cannot be, because, being a Buddha is a permanent phenomenon. It doesn't mean one second you're a Buddha, somehow next second you wake up and you're no longer a Buddha, you see.
So you mean after Buddha meditates, you wake up, you're non-Buddha, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, if he was to arise from meditative equipoise...
Why not become?
Because that's why I asked about the direct realization of emptiness.
Now here you see.
Okay.
Buddha is meditating.
Right.
He arise from the meditation, he become non-Buddha, you think that? Why?
No. Okay, that's why, because the thing about the Buddha...
You said that, isn't it?
No, I'm saying, could it be like that? Does it mean it is like that? Because...
You think like that, Buddha never wake up from meditation. If you wake up, you become non-Buddha. You think that? That's why you think you don't wake up from meditation.
Yeah.
So because that means, so you say you wake up, you become non-Buddha, you think?
Yeah, because I think it's related to the realization of emptiness, the ultimate truth, you see. That's why I asked about whether the ultimate truth itself, the fact that he's able, seeing conventional truth is no big deal, I mean, even we kind of see conventional truth in that sense, right? The problem is the ultimate truth. You get what I'm saying? Just seeing phenomena in a conventional sense, that's not the big deal. The big deal is being able to see the ultimate truth.
This samadhar, the kunzop dhamma tok se, di lel ko yamar.
Lel ko yamar.
Kunzop dhamma tok se. Kunzop dhamma tok dhamma tok
dhamma. Realizing conventional truth is a big deal. It is not easy to realize what a conventional truth is. So please explain the manner of what is it? What does it mean to realize a conventional truth?
Yeah, like now already, because I remember Ken Rinpoche said it's first you realize the ultimate truth, only then do you recognize the ultimate, the conventional truth. But I cannot recall the details. I'm just thinking really of just seeing, when I use the term conventional truth, which is probably incorrect, I was just thinking of seeing, you know, conventional phenomena. You know, we see the conventional phenomena. That to me is not so difficult, but realizing the ultimate truth of what we see is the big deal, you see. That's how my question came about, you know, because I was thinking like, you know, the direct realization of an ultimate truth can only occur within meditative
equipoise. The keyword is meditative equipoise, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
So what is meditative equipoise?
Huh? is this like very, very...
Must close eyes, right? Is it?
No. It's not a matter. It's a state of mind. Oh. It's a particular state of mind. Is this really like a super duper state of mind? A really powerful mind, yeah? A meditative equipoise. I mean, obviously it's a concentration. It's obviously a concentration.
Post-meditative is not concentration. It's not powerful mind.
Well, I mean, if we're talking about paths and grounds, when you come out of post-meditative equipoise for bodhisattva on the path, you know, then, you know, conventional phenomena appears, you know. But of course, then the mind is no longer grasping at the true existence of the phenomenon anymore. Unlike an ordinary being who believes that the phenomenon exists truly. Yeah. Isn't that the whole idea? Am I getting it wrong? Anyway, Ken Rinpoche's question to me was, how did that question that of mine come about? So that's why I'm trying to explain in my clumsy way how my question came about. That the direct realization of emptiness must... Does it mean that the direct realization of emptiness must necessarily take place within a state of meditative equipoise? That was my original question.
A mind that directly realizes emptiness is necessarily a meditative equipoise or not?
Oops. I have to say no, right? The bodhisattva on the path of seeing.
Illustration.
What?
Illustration.
Yes or no, right?
Illustration.
Huh?
Yeah, yes or no, what you say? 그거 말에 랍 살아왔다. 뭔가나 디추진에서 랍 걸어왔다. You said no, yeah? You said, basically you said that the wisdom directly perceiving emptiness is not necessarily meditative equipoise, right? Right? So, then give an illustration.
No, sorry, my answer is... obviously, when Ken Rinpoche puts it like that, it must be wrong. So,
No.
When Ken Rinpoche puts the question to me like that, that means I've got the wrong answer. So, the answer is yes.
Because I need to clarify your question to answer them. So, I'm asking them to clarify your to answer your question. I need to clarify first, you know, what you're really asking.
Right. So, Ken Rinpoche, can you please repeat?
그래, 나 동반이 웃음을 두고 있나? 냠샤이 If it is a wisdom directly perceiving emptiness, is it necessarily a wisdom of meditative equipoise?
Yes. Yes.
가이나. Why? This is not only you, you know, those who have some understanding that must
asking for everyone why, then you must think the reason. You know. Don't think I'm asking only Hari. It's not punishment. Not about that. You're asking for everyone, equally for everyone. Yeah.
I'm consulting my consultant. Yes, I think the answer is yes, because the Buddha...
Why? You say yes, not why.
Okay. The answer is yes, because the direct realization of emptiness cannot be achieved outside of meditative activities.
So in both
that's why when you become a Buddha, the Buddha never arises from his state of meditative equipoise. That's how my question came about in the first place, Lord. Am I going in circles?
What
about the rest of you guys? You got the question? So,
what do you think? Yes or no?
If you don't have an idea of roughly of the manner of traversing through the paths and grounds, then this might be difficult. But you guys have some idea, isn't it? Uninterrupted path of release, wisdom of subsequent attainment. So if it is a wisdom directly perceiving emptiness, is it necessarily a wisdom of meditative equipoise?
If you say no, then must give the example. Example this. Anybody can say so.
My consultant here says the answer is the illustration of that not being the case is the wisdom of subsequent attainment.
What?
Wisdom of subsequent attainment. But I don't understand. Because we know that for the bodhisattva on the paths and grounds, they meditate, they realize emptiness. Then after that, they wake up from the meditative equipoise. Then they have to accumulate some more merit, to abandon some more afflictions. Then they go back into another the state. And all in along the entire paths and grounds, they're becoming their realization, that direct realization of emptiness is becoming more and more and more powerful. Yeah, that was my understanding. Until it becomes so powerful, you become a Buddha. And you not only directly realize emptiness, but you can realize conventional truth simultaneously.
I don't understand what you're talking. Huh? So tereta nyamshaisu yana pasemeno yana namrolam dimato mehrawa.
Wisdom or meditative equipoise is either the uninterrupted path or the path of release. Yeah. There's nothing else there.
Yeah, asking question. Then yamshaishi yesu de yana pasemeno yana namrolam.
If it is a wisdom or meditative equipoise, it's either an uninterrupted path or a path of release.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
It is necessarily one of these two, isn't it?
Yes.
어떻게도 다 제도 이식이 귤라 다 제도가 뒤에 귤라 아니 제도가 뒤에 귤라 맞아 말함 제 안에 드네 남로람 또 남로람 그 제수 다 제도도 상그러와 제도도 상배 강사되 귤라 또 용어도 또 별로 유아래 유아 말했어.
Okay, so you realize emptiness directly for the first time, let's say. Then you're in an uninterrupted path. Then you move on to the path of release. Then he wakes up, right?
Yes.
From that meditative voice, right? He enters into the post-meditative state. Yeah? So that in that person's mental continuum, does the wisdom directly perceiving emptiness exist or not? Oh, he lost it.
It exists, but it is not manifest.
We didn't ask that question whether it was manifest or not. Have or not?
Have. Oh. Because he does remember. Oh, obviously, okay. He must remember he has the direct realization.
Have or not? Have, right?
Have.
Okay,
yeah.
Wait,
okay, have.
So, is that uninterrupted path or the path of release?
That's the path of release already, because he's already... The path of release is having abandoned something, right? Sorry, I cannot remember my uninterrupted path and path of release properly.
So another way of phrasing the question is that a wisdom or meditating yogi voice?
It's not.
No. It is, because it is a wisdom directly perceiving emptiness. Based on what you said. Because you said that if it is a wisdom directly realizing emptiness, it's necessarily a meditative voice. Earlier, it must not...
Don't forget your earlier what you said, you know.
Your thesis, your fundamental, the starting point.
Very, very basic, your commitment is that.
Mm.
Yeah? Mm. You say, must have to be this. You remember what you said earlier, Pat?
Anybody can take over. You can take the mic. Anybody can join in.
Who next?
What?
I don't know why they're clapping, but.
They're asking you to sit down.
Asking me to sit down.
The one who claps should take over. No?
Yeah. The Jalam get Nakabla, any Gumjung Lugone, Tommy Tana Pepper Chair. Only Gum T. Anne Gumche, that took him Tommy Mosum to Indogala, Yamshap Chavi, Toma, Tommy Mosum to me Nakabla, Yamsha Shima to Tosan Hebbard. Rava Tati, Pesin, Toma Totola, Yamsha Shimi Chaps, Love Choyashi, Pesin Love Choy, Subway, what did it?
So on the path of accumulation, that individual seeks to delineate emptiness through hearing and reflection. And when he achieves the wisdom of meditation, when he achieves the wisdom arisen from meditation with regards to emptiness, he enters the path of preparation. And on the path of preparation, that realization of emptiness is happens via a generic image. Yeah. And there will then come the time when that individual realizes emptiness directly. And that, I think you can say that it is, can only happen within a meditative bhikkhu voice. That is, we are talking about someone who is realizing emptiness directly for the very first time.
So,
if you're realizing emptiness for the very first time, then the realization is necessarily is necessarily a wisdom or meditative equipoise, but otherwise it is not necessary. So for example, there exists the in the continuum of a person in post-meditative equipoise, someone who has already realized emptiness directly. Yeah? So in that person's mental continuum, there is the wisdom directly realizing emptiness, right? So then when we talk about meditative equipoise, has it got to happen, you know, in that, you know, the meditation posture, you know, sitting down, and then sitting there for some period of time, you know. Does it have to happen like that?
No? So you can walk around, go shopping. Huh? You think? But you don't say anything how to shop. You said now you can walk around Archer Road, you know? Huh? But you see only emptiness, you don't see any conventional truth. You know?
So how can he be walking in the first place? Walking is a conventional phenomenon.
Yeah? So you don't see the road, how you walk. He saw the road? Did he see the road? He can see the road? Not that. Okay, who realized emptiness first time. So must sit down there, isn't it? Cannot move, isn't it? Just now you said no. Now yes. Huh?
Sure.
I thought that one is the Kalayor, in that yes, it is a coaching. One of the Shunabal option chicken and it some mumbo, go down, shook down the mumbo, some dunk. Take some logic, Madama, there's a couple of records, chicken, 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 Kalakabusta, just on the counter to ya, walk. Tens of tongue, Yama drilling chin, or to send the mumbo, it's not there, snatching. Send the tail, pendle you out in there.
Yeah, the material is challenging indeed, yeah. But if you want to study these things, these are the treatises, then you really have got to think about stuff. Otherwise, you are not going to understand anything. The material doesn't stay in the mind. You have to connect things, you know, things that are mentioned in the earlier part of the text and the things with the that mentioned in the later part of the text, and draw a relationship and so forth. Only then, you know, when the material stays in your mind, you can understand something. But otherwise, you just stay and listen. And then you listen to the first part, and then as you move on to the next area, then you forget what you have heard earlier. And if that happens, then I think it's extremely difficult to understand or learn anything.
Oh, to see that she was going to attention. Yeah, during that she got to do attention. Yeah, come on, yeah, she was sitting there. Yeah.
So I think, well, I only ask you questions because perhaps I think maybe there might be some benefit. So sometimes I think, if I was to just speak from my side all the time, I wonder what if there's any great benefit,
So, but if you know, if you sometimes we can, you know, do like discussions like this, perhaps there's more benefit. Yeah, but in the first place, in order for you to have questions, you must have some doubts, or you must have thought about stuff, and then wonder why is this and why is that. Yeah, and questions don't just arise. I mean, we shouldn't be asking questions for the sake of, you know, because it's question time that we ask a question. That's not the point. Yeah.
哦,等等,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等到,等
But if you look at it, you know, most of it is just a question and answer between Avalokiteshvara and Shariputra. Yeah? Buddha didn't really contribute much, yeah? Other than saying, well said, well said.
So next time, teacher should do that way. If people ask questions, then I listen, then good, I say, well said, well said. That's easy job for me.
I'm joking.
Sorry.
Yeah, okay.
Can I ask about seed of affliction?
Oh, okay.
The seed of affliction, which is caused by the affliction itself, I'm guessing it is a disintegratedness of the affliction itself? The seed of affliction, which is non-associated compositional factor, is it the disintegratedness of the afflictions? Okay, maybe I tell you the qualm. The qualm is, does the seed of affliction multiplies the same way as karmic propensity?
But how does
over time.
How does karmic propensity increase?
I have no idea.
In the first place,
yeah, right? I have no idea. But I'm just curious, yeah, whether it actually, if they are equally disintegratedness of the phenomena itself, you know, does it have the same attribute or characteristic of multiplying over time?
The seed.
Yeah, seed of afflictions.
So the longer you're in samsara, the more difficult it is to get out, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, if affliction, it works for affliction, it would work for virtuous mind as well, yeah? If there's seed of affliction, I'm guessing there should be seed of virtuous mind. So if it multiplies for karma, it multiplies
seed
for affliction,
of virtuous mind. Yeah.
Would it multiply for virtuous mind?
だってるわ、だからそれ。火山、まだ修の修で、火山。た、たじゅばの新社、だ、レギ、シクパ、ラバイナ、こ、サブンに出社、だ、パジャイ出社、だ、ジャクワイオマルマン。てれ、ラバイ。ま、たじゅべ、スバイナ、こ、たじ、火山修のや、パジャイ、ケメル、サブン、ケメル、ミレメネツ、ケマル、だ、パジャイ、サブン、セディ、だ、チ、パゲ、ジョクワイディ、パゲ、タルトナ、パゲシ。 랑싱도
So if you remember our discussion on the middle way consequence school's explanation of disintegratedness of karma, yeah. So it's not that the middle way consequence schools do not assert seeds and predispositions. But rather, they say that you don't have to explain the cause issuing its effect, a karma issuing its effects somewhere down the road, using the explanations of seed of karma, or ripening of the seed of karma. But they explain it through the disintegratedness of karma. Yeah. And I guess also the very concept of seed and predisposition that is accepted by, you know, Buddhist tenets holder, they are always coming from a viewpoint of things having their own intrinsic existence. There's something right there. You know, well, you know, karma is created, you know, therefore in order for you to give result, there must be something there, something right there from the cause, having the ability, the intrinsic ability, you know, that property, you know, to definitely give rise to a result, you know, right? So the Prasangikas are saying that you don't have to, in fact, things don't exist, that things don't exist inherently, you know, you don't have to point to, in fact, there's nothing that's pointable, right? You know, you're looking for a real cause, real karma. So, yeah. So that's one thing.
Oh, that's it. That's all. That type of thing. Like, shiva is it? That type of shiva, shiva, jeshi, that type of jeshi. That means that there is something that, and it's like rushing, but what? That type of thing, too soon, you are.
So the Middle Way Consequence School explains an action issuing forth an effect in the future. Through the explanation of the disintegratedness of karma. Yeah? So karma is, you finish accumulating a karma, then that karma ceases, that produces a disintegratedness, right? Then that disintegratedness then produces the next moment of disintegratedness until such a time when it ripens as an effect. Yeah? So that's how they connect the cause to the effect, right?
Oh, that today some of the time, the two and you better tell it, and the leg is subbed to the pay to grimaris, but dear one, chicken. That
Bantana de Newmoon, and the Newmoon Sabun Sierra, Newmoon Shabbos.
Piggy about a set,
and the Newmoon shall be Sabun de Pinga de Shigbarabesa, Newmoon Shigbarabesa.
On the southern column, the ship of the Lapchukrota.
So as for your question about the seed of affliction, is it in a disintegratedness of the affliction, right? Essentially, right? Called different names, but is that the disintegratedness of an affliction? Perhaps you can, nothing wrong to call it that way, to term it in that way. Huh? Ah, okay, yeah. Then okay. That's the next
one.
Then in the general presentation of karma, one of the four characteristics of karma is that karma increases. So yeah, we are always taught that karma increases, isn't it? Right. So how do you explain that? When the karma ceases, it doesn't last even for more than a moment, isn't it? When it ceases, that's it. Then there's a disintegratedness of karma, right? So karma ceases, right? When it's finished, it ceases, right? Then how does karma increase? So this karma, when the karma disintegrates, it lasts only, the disintegrateness also lasts for one moment only, yeah. And then it produces another moment, right? It lasts for a moment. And then. So then how does karma increase? Karma increase or the effect increase? Huh? Huh? What? It's counting the effects.
I have no idea.
Huh?
I have no idea. I have no idea. So,
you know. Tere, ina yata, taki tere, mora chua ta yata, tere, leji sa, legi paja, namshe yi tundu sha, ta, sabun sene mido, paja sene mido, nyimugi sabun sene mido, ta ko, pegere vise da, pegere lap korwa.
So anyway, when
the karma is done or accumulated, right, when it finishes, a seed of it is left on the mind, isn't it? The potential is left on the mind, isn't it, right? So, and the potential, that capacity to issue forth a result, that capacity itself can increase, isn't it? I mean, we have to explain how, we have to say that it increases, it does increase, right? The potential that can increase, huh? It's something to think about, yeah. But yes, it is said that karma increases, and of course it does increase, yeah. But it just can't increase just without any condition or reason, isn't it, right? And perhaps, maybe, for us ordinary folks, yeah, ordinary beings, yeah, our minds are, you know, full of the three mental poisons, yeah. So there are so, we have so many conditions in our minds to nourish, to increase, you know, that the capacity or the power of that, of the karmic seeds, yeah. When we talk about the Buddha lineage, there is the naturally abiding lineage and the developmental lineage. So the naturally abiding lineage is naturally present in all sentient beings. If you are a sentient being, you necessarily have that. Yeah, I mean, right? It's just the mind's emptiness of true existence.
Yeah?
And the developmental lineage refers to the time in which, you know, that potential is nourished, is increased, is developed through hearing, reflection, and meditation.
Oh,
칼소라 버기 직디 다 세월 체를 주게 먹으시 거야지 따던다 토바 사바다 아니 닌제 따 대바 되네 망보지 돈에 바 직디 세월 치고도 봐 그러봐 다가서 세심이다 제 망보지 소세다 다 진주릭 세지 차기도 봐 어때요?
So for the lineage to awaken, many conditions must come together, right? Hearing, reflection, devotion, compassion, and so forth, right? So, yeah, many things must come together to awaken the lineage.
어떻게 해야 따라서 내리 유배 미셔봤다 진주릭 거야지. 그럼 따라서 내릭 세리고 뒤집어 미셔봤다 진주릭 거야. 진주릭 때 다 가지고 용도 봐. 그 제목부 전다 릭세지.
So it's not sufficient to have just the naturally abiding lineage, but the developmental lineage must exist. Yeah, and in order for that developmental lineage to awaken to develop, many conditions must come together, right? For its awakening.
어떻게 다니아라한테 들에 보겠다. 대니몽부샤브 사분슨 사분슨하래. 따티코 누가 치를 줘야 돼? 일단 니 몸이 깬신 되게 아니 초단 깬신 그런 게 서번대 다 샤브 서번대 누가 치를 줘야지 용축으로 와 누구래 납축으로 와 따뜻해.
So then back to the seeds of the afflictions. So we can say that the power, the capacity, the power of the strength of this the seeds of the afflictions can increase. Yeah, with the afflictions as and other things as the condition.
그럼 아까다 근데 사본에 누가 치료로도 충로 줘야 돼? 나 그럼 그럼 직구 사면 다 안식 깁니다. 그럼 또 그 사람 치료로 충로 줘야 사면 다 아니면 다 그 깨니 체비 없겠다. 그럼 저기 깨니 체인 누가나 누가 치료 줘야 뒤 아니 년보디 직 체인 누가나 누가 충로 줘야지 샤고 직으로 와.
So I'm not sure whether you know. You know that the capacity of seed of affliction or seed of karma will increase or decrease from his own side on his own without any other conditions. I'm not sure if that's what's meant. But if there are conditions for the strengthening of the seed of afflictions are there, like the afflictions, then the power of the seed of the afflictions will increase. But if one applies the antidote due to the force of the antidote, yeah. So the stronger the antidote, the weaker will be the capacity of those seeds, right?
어떻게 다 떠나니 못해? 다 레기 잡은 아니 지금 이 몸에 잡은 사본티야 다고 누가 치료돼 유아르베스나 권에 권도 배 유아르베스나 그래서 유아르 납치하면 누웠습니다. 떠나니 누가 치료돼 치료와.
So as such, then I guess then with that, we can talk about the seeds of the afflictions are increasing in strength.
Okay, one more question about intellectually acquired afflictions. It is actually like something that you are being taught, right? But it's an affliction, so you leave behind a seed of affliction as well. So in the future lives, for the seed to ripen, do you need to be taught again? Or it can ripen due to other reasons? Okay, my qualm is that, you know, this seed can continue for many countless lifetimes, and then we can actually accumulate. I'm just wondering, after countless lifetimes, from intellectually acquired, become innate. Because it's a habit that you... So I'm not too sure, you know, at which point do you consider it as intellectually acquired or innate?
What's the difference between an intellectually acquired desire and an innate desire, for example?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Is there a common locus?
So
So earlier in the classification of the path of seeing abandonments, there was the mention of the intellectually acquired afflictions and the seeds established by that intellectually acquired affliction or the intellectually acquired apprehension of true existence. It's quite straightforward for the path of seeing abandonments, yeah, being the intellectually acquired apprehension of true existence and the seeds established by that intellectually acquired apprehension of true existence. So if I say I don't know, if I say that it is just intellectually acquired, whatever anger, attachment, desire, whatever. So if we say that the afflictions induced by the seeds that are established by the intellectually acquired apprehension of true existence, those afflictions that are induced by, are all path for seeing abandonments. So what are you going to say? You agree? I wonder if there are any innate forms of afflictions that are induced by the seeds established by the intellectually acquired apprehension of true existence. But the reasoning, I mean, is this, straightforward the reasoning, right? I mean, first you have the intellectually acquired affliction, the intellectually acquired apprehension of true existence. So the seeds that are established by that affliction must be a seed that is established by intellectually acquired affliction, isn't it? So as such, since it is a seed that is established by intellectually acquired apprehension of true existence, then the afflictions that arise, they're induced. The rising of the afflictions induced by those seeds must be intellectually acquired afflictions. I mean, logically, yeah. I mean, of course, emotionally difficult, right? It's complicated. So if you can ask the question this way, then we can turn it around and say that you have the innate afflictions, they establish, then they are the seeds established by their innate afflictions. Yeah. So is it possible for there to be intellectually acquired afflictive obscurations to arise from those seeds?
So what are you going to say?
So is it possible for intellectually acquired afflictions to arise from the seeds that are established by the innate apprehension of true existence?
Your mind working? Huh? Oh, bad time. That bad timing.
See, it doesn't. That means it's like, you know, the cause will produce its effects, and intellectually acquired true conception of true existence will produce an intellectually acquired afflictions, whichever afflictions. But this will continue. This seed will continue. Let's say I didn't do anything to it. I didn't have any antidote to it. So this seed will continue from lifetime after lifetime.
Yeah.
So every lifetime, I don't need to be taught that.
You don't need to call, they'll call you.
Yeah, you will arise based on other reasons, yeah, other conditions. It doesn't need to be.
Some people think they are Maitreya Buddha.
Yeah, so it doesn't have to be like, you know, every time being intellectually acquired every lifetime, right? You know, my problem is that I don't really know how to draw the line between. Everything seems the same.
Yeah, I mean, it will continue for a lifetime, but in order for that to arise, that person must meet with some condition, yeah.
Yeah.
For the intellectually acquired affliction to arise, right?
Yes.
Don't
need to be taught, right?
Strong guge me da hamo, da genji tego do da kanda. Do da ji da chen, da? Anyway, I don't know. Huh? Okay. Sorry, huh? Today I don't know if it's helpful or not.
So yeah, I guess we will finish this topic, this module in 3 lessons. How many more you want? Okay, so I'll finish off, right? So